have with us Dr. David Gibbs. He's the president of the Christian Law Association, and he's been a blessing to us through the years, and we enjoy when we get to work with him. He's been a blessing to our family in a personal way, and we love him here at the Greer Baptist Camp Meeting, and he loves coming, and he could be anywhere he wants to be, but I'm glad that he worked it out for him to come. And I want you to give a good South Carolina welcome to Dr. David Gibbs. Would you do that for me?
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Brother Joe. I have sure enjoyed this camp meeting. I want to remind you of something. The reason this camp meeting is under attack is because the Son of God is under attack. I trust you understand there are forces doing everything in their power to get Jesus out of America. And this is just a vestige of Jesus Christ that they want to see perish. Now, it's not just this camp meeting. It's anything that has to do with the Son of God. But boy, don't let them take America. We don't have to let them take America. The fastest growing religion in America right now is Muslim. And they don't have God. We have God. We do not have to lose this land. But boy, I want to encourage you, understand that when you vote, you vote with your presence, you vote with your money, you vote with your voice. Boy, I want to encourage you, get behind this meeting. I'm watching all across America as forces are trying to discourage anything like this that's vibrant for Christ. And I just want to encourage you, don't you let that happen. And would you do something with me? Thank Brother Joe Arthur for his passion to keep this alive. Would you do that? If you have your Bibles, the book of Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, and then John chapter 10, John chapter 10. And I have the privilege of getting to know and love Brother Joe Arthur. What a treasured friend. And his precious daughter, Joanna, has completed her first year of law school and has been working with our ministry. What a great lady. What a great lady, doing a magnificent job. And boy, I trust that you understand, this man's got a lot of pressure on him. This ministry, pray for this. And thank you for being here. And can I encourage you next year, bring a friend. Amen. Bring a friend. I enjoyed Brother Vance's preaching. My soul. That was absolutely spot on. How many of you, God spoke to your heart while he was preaching? It surely did mine. Thank you, Brother Vance. And the music. I love to hear the Doherty sing. I love to hear all these groups. Thank you for your voices that you've raised in honor to the Lord. For the next couple of minutes, I want to just remind you, it's the 4th of July. And the 4th of July was not there to give us picnics and fireworks. Oh, when they signed that document, they knew fireworks were coming. But it wasn't the kind you're thinking. Do you know what those men did when they met in Philadelphia to sign the Declaration of Independence? For the first day and a half, they prayed. Now, it's in all their journals, Madison, Jefferson, all of them. And they read one psalm out loud 150 times. Wow. Now, did you ever ask yourself, how did they do something 150 times and you haven't heard about it? Well, they've done an excellent job of getting God out of our history. Because you see, before they can get God out of the land, they got to get God out of the history. The psalm they read out loud was Psalm 35. Three preachers signed that declaration, and it didn't go well. Their churches were immediately burned and looted to the ground. They lost everything. The one preacher escaped with his family to the wilderness, and they survived, but lost everything. The other two preachers had their families arrested and put on prison ships, which was a death sentence. And the British said, take your name off the document, we'll give you your families back, otherwise they die. What would you do, Brother Vance? Just take your name off the document and she'll live. Just take your name off the document, Brother Joe, and Joanna lives. They refused, and their families perished. And you don't even know those preachers' names. How did such great things get done of honor to God? And it's gotten away from us. If you go to Washington, D.C., the tallest building by law is the Washington Monument. No building can come within 100 feet of its top. Do you know what it says in the capstone at the tallest building by law? To the honor and glory of God. That's what's over our cap. Do you know what? If you go to see the declaration that's kept in the National Archives, the Declaration and the Constitution sit right there side by side. Do you know what you have to read to see them? In the floor, in marble and in bronze, are the Ten Commandments. You can't see one without seeing the other. In World War II, every soldier got a Bible. And that Bible was paid for by the U.S. government. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, how many of you understand, he was not an independent fundamental Baptist. How many of you all understand that? Let me tell you what he wrote in the front of each of those Bibles. As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. Men have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is the foundation of strength for America. Now, how did that man write that? How did our forefathers do what they do, and we got to where we are? This morning I want to ask you a very simple question, one that you must intensely, personally answer. How good are you at hearing from God? The Bible is very clear, God speaks. And the question is not, how good are the guys in Washington at hearing? Not how good are the people that aren't saved at hearing? The question is, how good are you at hearing from God? You see, we want to change everything out there, but we're not going to change anything out there till we change what's happening in here.
I believe that.
2 Chronicles 7:14. It doesn't start with the lost, it starts with the saved. If my people, which are called by my name. And the question is, when's the last time God truly spoke to you? Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, man, I come to camp meet and I get all whooped up, me too. And I love it. But the fact you got emotionally stirred doesn't mean God's talking. You can go to a ball game and get emotionally stirred. Man, these kids go to rock concerts, they go crazy emotionally. The fact that you got emotional doesn't mean you heard from God. And there is no substitute in life for hearing from God if you are a child of God. And why would you want to try to navigate life? Why would you want to try to live life when you're not hearing from Him? When you can be hearing from Him. Read with me Hebrews 3. Written to the believers, Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, now comes a little two-letter word that you have to say, wow, why would that be there? If ye will hear His voice. If. This is written to Christians. Man, here's the question. Do we really want to hear from God? If ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Bible is very clear that there's three ways God speaks to us. Number one, He speaks to us through His Word. Yes, sir. And my experience is 99.9% of the time when God talks to you, it's going to be through His Word. This is the living Word of God. And God's never going to say one thing to you that's inconsistent or contrary to His Word. Not ever. I had a preacher the other day come to me, Brother Joe, and he said, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart and said it's okay for me to divorce my wife. I said, I don't know what God you're listening to, but it's not the God of the book. God is never going to say one thing to you that's inconsistent with His Word. Not one thing. How good are you at getting into this book? How good are you at having God speak to you through the book? Now, you got to be careful. You can be reading the Bible and not have God talking to you because you can be doing it on autopilot. You're just reading. Have you ever been watching a program, maybe on TV or something, and somebody comes in and says, what's the show about? And you say, I don't know, I'm just watching it. You're not watching it. You're on autopilot. And there's an awful lot of people who read this book on autopilot. When's the last time you said, God, talk to me? I want to hear from you. A preacher helped me one day. He said, David, the Bible is the only book God ever wrote. And by the way, how many of you believe that? And he said, it's the most important book in all the world. How many of you believe that? And he said, well, I've decided I'm going to read it like it's the only book God ever wrote. And I'm going to read it like it's the most important book in all the world. And I said, have you got a reading schedule, preacher? He said, I do. I said, you're going to read it through in a year? You got to understand, when I said that to him, I had never read the Bible through in a year. Ever. I thought if a guy read the Bible through in a year, Brother Vance, the guy was a giant. You know what we find in our lawsuits? Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist people. Less than 4% have ever read the Bible through ever. ever. And way less have ever let it less than a year. Oh, Brother Gibbs, we need to hear from God. It's in your hand. And he wants to talk to you. I said, you're going to read the Bible through in a year? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, I understand you're busy. He said, no, what I've decided, David, since the Bible's so important, I'm going to read it through every month. I said, you're going to read the Bible front to back every 30 days? He said, yeah. I said, that's impossible. He said, well, how would you know? And I said, I don't know how I know. That's just something I was born knowing. I don't know how I know that. He said, I want to show you something. He said, get your Bible out. I got it out. He said, how many pages are in your Bible? Man, I took a look, little thin pages, a few less than 1,200. He said, okay, you're going to read it in 30 days. How many pages every day? I said, 40. Boy, that number surprised me. He said, 40 pages a day, you can read it through in a month. He said, now read a page real slow. Boy, I knew what was coming. So, man, I went Old Testament, no chapter breaks, read slow. You know what I found out? You can read a page in my Bible slowly in just under a minute and a half. He said, okay, minute and a half? I said, yeah. He said, David, let's make it 2 minutes a page so you can do it extra slow. I said, okay. He said, 2 minutes a page? Yeah, 40 pages a day. Yeah, that'd be 80 minutes, wouldn't it? I said, that's what it'd be. He said, let me give you 10 extra minutes so you can do it super slow. I said, okay. He said, 90 minutes? I said, yeah. He said, don't you ever, ever, ever forget this, son. 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night, and you can read through super slow, the only book God ever wrote. Oh, I want God to talk to me. How many of you want God to talk to you? I just don't want to take time to read his book. Oh, listen. You want to hear from God? It starts with you making the decision that I'm going to read this book like it is the most important book in all the world and the only book God has ever written. The first way God speaks is through his word. The second way God speaks is through his servants. Boy, now that happened here. Brother Vance up here preaching. I'm telling you, God spoke to me. Last night, oh my. God was talking. Man, I've had the privilege to preach with Brother Joe Arthur. Every time that man preaches, God uses his servant to speak. Oh, that servant can be a Sunday school teacher. It can even be a friend. But God will talk through his servants to you. Now, I was dealing with something very disruptive, had to make a very hard decision. And the other day, I'm traveling across the corner of Oklahoma, in the middle of nowhere. And I got a Christian radio station on, and a lot of static. And I don't know who the guy was. He's just preaching away. And I didn't hear the beginning. I didn't hear the end. But for 15 minutes, God came in that car. And God spoke to me through his servant. Have you come here looking for God to talk to you? Have you ever gone to church? Have you ever gone to camp meeting looking for nothing? You'll find it every time. Every single time. But if you come hungry, thirsting, seeking, knocking, God says, I want to talk to you. Oh, wow. The first way he speaks is through his word. The second way he speaks is through his servants. But there's a third way he speaks, and that's from his spirit to your spirit. God one-on-one His Spirit to your spirit. When's the last time, one-on-one with God, He talked to you? Brother Gibbs, I don't think ever. Well, no, whoa. The Bible says if you're saved, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are His child. And if His Spirit's never talked to you, boy, you need to seriously question, are you saved?
That's right.
And God wants to talk to you through His Word, through His servants, through His Spirit. Now, three things will shut off the voice of God, and I want you to write these three down. Because, boy, I've messed with all three, and it's not good. You want to shut off the voice of God? How many of you do not want to shut off the voice of God? Hold your hand up. All right, three things will do it. Number one, being double-minded.
Yes.
Being double-minded.
Yes, sir.
James 1. The Bible said, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. He's never going to upbraid you. But then he says, you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. And he said, if you don't ask in faith, nothing wavering, he said, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then he says, do not be double-minded. A double-minded man, he says, is unstable in all his ways. But you know what double-minded means? Yeah. I think maybe God talks. I don't know. Well, probably to Joe. Yeah. Maybe to, well, I'm not sure. But me. And you know what? You haven't made up your mind.
That's good.
God talks. My sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
Whoa. My family, I was raised in the cattle business. We slaughtered 5,000 to 7,000 head of cattle a week. And have you ever seen a guy who is kind of interested in marrying a girl and one day he's going to marry her and the next day he's not? Then he's going to, then he's not. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, where I grew up in the country raising cattle, what we'd have said is, you brand that heifer or you cut her loose. You do one of the two. And that wasn't said disrespectful. That was said, make up your mind. You know what I'm here to tell you? Make up your mind. God talks. And do you want to hear from Him? Oh, yeah, Brother Gibbs. But man, at my age, no. You'll know when God's done talking to you. You'll be looking at Him. How many of you understand what I just said? He wants to talk to you. Don't you dare be double-minded about it. The second thing that'll cut it off, number one is being double-minded. Number two is being a fake. Being a fake, the word used in the Bible is feigned. 2 Peter, they with feigned words made merchandise of you.
That's right.
Brother Joe, I don't know whether God's talking or not, but let's just pretend He is. When we stand up here, let's just say, Brother Vance, God laid this on my heart. Is that right? God did that? God told us to keep this camp meeting. Really? I've had people come to me and say, Brother Gibbs, God's laid on my heart, this is what we're supposed to do. What do you think?
It don't matter.
Now, here's what I tell them. If God spoke to you, what I think is irrelevant. It don't mean anything. Because you see, it may be the wisdom of man is totally contrary to what God's saying. Read Hebrews 11. any wisdom would have told every one of those heroes of the faith, don't do it. But God was talking. Man starts out. Abram, we're leaving our homeland. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, how will we know when we get there? I don't know. Well, how will we know it's the right place? I don't know. We're going to cross a big, bad, nasty desert? I know. Now, if you'd have been there, you'd have said, let's think this out a little bit. Why don't you go leave the family here and do an investigation? Don't put your family through this. He said, problem is, God told me and the family to go. Wow. Guys, the Bible says if you're married, your wife is to submit and obey you in everything. How would you like to be ordered to submit to somebody who's not hearing from God? Or worse, is faking it. Can you imagine if before Brother Joe got over here, I went up and down the aisles and said, I talked with Brother Joe. Now, I haven't. And he wants you to give me all your money. Now, come on, pony it up. I want it. I'm going to take it. I'm telling you, I talked to him, and he said, you are to give me your money. And I go up and down these aisles collecting all the money. When Brother Joe would find out, he'd say, what are you doing? I never said any such thing. That's disreputable. That's a thief. That's dishonoring. You're a liar. And people do that to God all the time. Don't you dare fake it. By the way, you don't have to fake it. God wants to talk to you. But you got to not be double-minded. And you can't be faking it. Write number three down. You can't be double-minded. You can't be faking it. And you can't be in rebellion. The Bible says that when a child of God sins, it's called a transgression. How many of you all have ever sinned as a Christian? Hold your hand up, will you? If you didn't raise your hand, you can now, okay? Because the Bible says we do. And that sin is a transgression. And the Holy Spirit is going to start, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. The other day I was in a motel, and the hanger for my suit broke. I mean, the thing just cracked, and I thought, God, I gotta have a hanger to pack it. I thought, I'll just take one of these. I didn't get my hand on the hanger. And God started saying, thou shalt not. Who'd like to guess what the next word is? And I thought, God, I paid this hotel chain a lot of money over the years, and this isn't really stealing. I'm just sort of permanently borrowing. Besides, God, they'd want me to have it, I think. Don't you laugh at me. And God said, you want me to be with you in court today? You want me to be with you when you preach tomorrow night? You want my blessing? You want me to order your steps? By the way, how is God going to order your steps if you don't hear from him. And Brother Joe, I stood there with my hand in midair, looking at that hanger. And then the thought came to me, well, if you're going to be a thief, you ought to take something of more value. And I thought, that's nuts. I'm not a thief. What is the matter? Oh, listen. When you do a transgression, and by the way, I didn't take it. When you do a transgression, when you do it, and you keep doing it, the Holy Spirit says, stop it, stop it. You shouldn't be watching that. Your fantasy should not be imagining that. But you're going to keep doing it. Now your transgression turns to rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, 2 Samuel, because ye have rejected the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir, that's what it says.
Whoa. You want to shut the voice off, double-minded, faking it, rebellion. Now, the Bible clearly says three things trigger God talking, and I want you to write these three down, and I'll be done. You want to hear God's voice? God says, number one, I want you to get an ear to hear.
Yes.
An ear to hear. 15 times, Brother Vance, in the New Testament, Jesus made this statement, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Everybody he was talking to had ears, but they didn't have a hearing ear. Oh, they were hearing what they wanted to hear. God, I want to hear from you, but I don't want to hear that. And I don't want to hear that. And you don't have a hearing ear. At home, we had a little dachshund dog, great dog. He's passed on, but great little dog. And his name was Scooby-Doo. And Scooby-Doo had an amazing ability. He could be 10 feet away, you could be screaming, and he heard nothing. I mean, you'd be, no, Scooby, no, nothing. But he could be at the other end upstairs in the house. And if you open the icebox door, he heard everything. Those stubby little legs would be flying, dragging that belly down the steps. He did not have a hearing ear. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. Brother Joe just took an offering. God, what do you want me to give? Oh, Brother Gibbs, I don't want God weighing in on that. No telling what he might say. God, I'll let you know when I want to hear. I was in Australia helping on some legal cases there and getting to preach at a Bible conference. And we're in the meeting for the Bible conference, and there's a missionary's wife who's unbelievably ill. Horrible, last stages of cancer. She desperately needs medical treatment, has no money. And they said, we want to take up an offering for this lady. And boy, that quick, I'm telling you, I said, you bet. And I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart. Man, I'm going to give. By the way, when God speaks, don't you ever, ever, ever resist a generous impulse with God. Don't you ever. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. You'll never outgive him. But I'm telling you, God said, I want you to give. And I thought, man, I am. This is the only time this ever happened. I got my wallet out, opened it up. I couldn't believe it. The only two things in my wallet were two $100 bills. Never had that happen before. And I said, God, I want to give. I want to give, but I didn't know that was the smallest thing in my wallet, God. I didn't know that. And that quick, God said, you don't think I knew that? You don't think I knew that was the smallest thing there? But I said, God, I got 2 weeks to go. And that is not a lot of money. And God, and I'm standing there, and God's saying, give it. Now, here's the problem. Every one of you, without exception, would have said, what's the matter with you? Give it. It's not your money. Yeah. Oh, it's right when it's somebody else. But when it's me, and I'm telling you, the offering plate came by and I just kind of quickly shuffled it and didn't give it. Now I'm up on the platform and they're saying all these kind things about us, and I'm sitting over here and the Lord's saying, I bet you want my help now. I'm there. You know what the Lord said? If those people knew what you just did, they'd never let you stand behind that pulpit. And I'm dying. When's the last time you said, God, give me the ear to hear? No matter what it is, I want to hear from you. Order my steps. I stood up there and I said, open your Bibles. And I'm telling you, God, I just miserable. I thought, David, you are a fake. How many of y'all ever felt like a phony? Hold your hand up. I mean, God, what is the matter with me? And I said, I got to stop here and just tell you what I did. I said, I got to get this right. And I gave that money to the preacher, and I said, you don't want me to preach, I understand. Can God trust talking to you? Well, I want to tell you right now, he's talking. Well, I wish God had talked to our president. Well, I wish God had talked to our governor. Well, how about God talking to you? Have you got the ear to hear? A very famous preacher was invited to the International Association of Birders. Now, I've never heard of these people. Most of them are wealthy. They go around the world as part of the International Association of Birders to look at and listen to birds. And they call themselves birders. Now, I like birds. I do. I like mine fried or grilled. How many of you understand? Brother Gibbs probably would not be incredibly welcome at that meeting, right? Just. But this preacher's there, and his host walks him out there at an English estate with a 5-6 acre garden, and he walks out and he says, these gardens are gorgeous, gorgeous, and they're looking at everything. And his host turns to this preacher and he said, have you heard the birds? And he said, no, I haven't heard any. He said, preacher, while we've been out here, I've counted over 50 different birds I've heard. And the preacher said, how come you hear them and I don't? He said, because I want to hear them. And I have the ear to hear them and you don't.
Yep.
Whoa.
Lord.
Did you come while Brother Vance was preaching and say, God, talk to me. Talk to me. Wow. The first thing you got to do is have the ear to hear. Write the second thing down. You want to hear from God. Number one, you got to have the ear to hear. Number two, you got to have a tender heart. That's what we read in Hebrews. Harden not your heart. That's not addressed to unsaved people. That was to believers. How tender is your heart? Life's got a way of putting crust on us. Have you ever seen a teenager with a hard heart? You talk to him and you say, what in the world happened to that kid? How did his heart get crusty? And man, his heart towards his mom, towards his dad, towards his grandparents, towards God. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Not overnight. Little by little, he let crust get built up. And that's why God said, if ye will hear his voice, what's the next word? Harden not your heart. When's the last time you went to the altar and said, God, break the crust off of me. Get me tender. God, I want to hear from you. I want to have a tender heart. Number one thing you got to do is get an ear to hear.
That's right.
Number two, you got to have a tender heart. Write number three down. You got to ask.
I believe.
You got to ask. If any of you lack wisdom, by the way, how many of you want the wisdom of God? Hold your hand up. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How good your ask? Well, I ask when I'm terrified. I know, me too. But when's the last time you said, God, I don't want to live my life without hearing from you. I don't want to play camp meeting.
Well, that's good.
I don't want to play church. I don't want to play Christian. I don't want to play Christian lawyer. I want to hear from God.
Amen.
And God, I'm asking. Talk to me. How good's your ask? Moultrie, Georgia is a town in the south of Georgia. And good chance if you don't live in Georgia, you probably don't know where Moultrie is. But it's down near the Florida Panhandle. It's down there quite a ways. And our ministry had a small airplane, and it was a great benefit to us. We flew it, and then it just got too expensive, and we stopped using that. But when we had that plane one night, we're flying in the dark, very bad weather, over South Georgia, trying to get down into Florida. And nothing helps your prayer life, nothing like being in very bad weather in a small airplane. You just feel led to pray without ceasing. You really do. It just comes to you. And we're bouncing along, and we have a radar on board, and we're painting these storm cells, and we're talking to ground control, the center, man, keep us out of these storms. He said, oh, yeah, he said, these babies are 60, 70,000 feet high. Never forget, he said, they will tear you to pieces. Now, in the plane is me, our pilot, my wife, and at that point, we had three children. And there in the back, and I'll never forget, they all had new little coloring books about Noah and the flood, and they're trying to color, and the kids are complaining a little bit. We can't stay in the lines. Stop bouncing it. And my wife kept saying, we're okay, right? And I said, yeah, we're okay, we're okay. And then I turned to our pilot and I said real quiet, we're okay, right? I said, how much longer this bad weather? He said, it's going to be about another 45 minutes. But he said, the worst is just ahead. And man, I'm watching that radar and it's like mesmerizing, going back and forth, and we're steering around some cells, and you got to be real careful. The radar can mislead you. You can paint a cell, and where you think it's clear, it's not clear. And so, boy, we're watching carefully. And something happened I don't ever wish to have happen again. We're bouncing along. Radar's going back and forth. And I'm watching it. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a noise. Pow! That noise went off. I like to come out of my socks. It was an explosion that rocked that airplane something fierce. My first thought was another plane hit us. It was that violent. My second thought was a missile hit us. But I mean, it was deafening, and it shook that plane violently. I turned to our pilot, and I said, what was that? And he, a very trained professional, said, I don't know. Now, you know you're in trouble when your pilot sounds like Tiny Tim. You just know it. But it got worse. It wasn't 5 to 10 seconds. We're in this bad weather. Something has hit us or exploded violently. And suddenly the instrument panel went, phew, gone. All the electrics, all the vacuum gauges, gone. No radios, no radar. One little tiny instrument powered by a battery about the size of a 50-cent piece, an artificial horizon at the bottom, stayed working, but it was wiggling terrible. My wife said, are we okay? Now I'm thinking, be a good time to sing Coming Home. I think we're going to be in trouble here. We are in the midst of a nightmare, and we've lost our guidance. If you in life get in the midst of a nightmare, if you don't have God's voice, you have no guidance. Our pilot remembered, he said, I got one little portable radio. He said, I don't know that the batteries are any good on it. It's not very strong. And he's fumbling under his seat. We've lost. And then it got worse. The cabin filled with smoke. We have an explosion. We've lost our instruments. We're in bad weather, and we're on fire. We're trying to put masks on everybody. He gets that little radio out, and he said, I don't know that this will do any good. And he said, I'm declaring an emergency. We're on fire. We've lost our panel. Something's exploded. Can you hear me?
Nothing.
I'm declaring an emergency. I have no panel. We are on fire. Something exploded. Can you hear me? Please respond.
Nothing. Now I could see sweat pouring off our pilot bigger than raindrops. And he turned to me and he said, "Brother Gibbs, we are in really bad trouble.
I'm declaring an emergency. Can you hear me? We're on fire. We've lost our panel. Please respond."
And a staticky voice came back. And he said, "I hear you. This is the tower at Moultrie. Let me find you." Finally, he came back. He said, "There's almost nobody out there at this hour, especially in this weather. I have you." And I'll never forget his next words. He said, "Now you hear me. You can't see me, but I can see you. And if you will just listen to my voice, I'll bring you home." Next thing he said is, "You're banked, headed straight towards a storm cell. You're 4 miles and closing. You're in a left bank. I need you to turn back." And I said, "Brent, he's got the wrong plane. We're not banked." Brent said, I don't think we are either." He went back, he said, I don't think we're in a bank." He said, "You got to stop trusting your feelings and you have to obey my voice. Not turn right." Now when he said that, I turned to our pilot, Brent, and I said, "Brent, let's just fake it. Let's just pretend we're okay. Let's just act like we know what we're doing. Maybe it'll turn out okay, huh? What do you think?" That isn't what I said. We stayed glued to every word of that voice. Not quite 25 minutes later, we rolled out on the runway in Moultrie. Boy, they had the fire foam there. They foamed everything. It turns out a mechanic had left a can of hydraulic fluid in an engine cover, and it exploded. And it started a massive fire. Our wing was within minutes of falling off. They came up, and they said, "Wow, are you guys lucky?" And they were congratulating our pilot. And our pilot turned to me and he said, "Mr. Gibbs, you understand something. If you'd have just had me tonight, we'd be in a cornfield around here dead now. Your family'd be dead." But he said, "We had a voice." Now a fella came walking up and he said, "Which one of you are the pilot?" And our pilot said, "You're the voice."
"Oh, that boy."
He said, "Yeah, I just wanted to say good job." He said, "No. Thank you for being the voice."